I'm not looking forward to that drive because that's like a 6 hour drive from here.
It's pretty at the end.
Oh yeah,
At the very end.
I give no that. What's that old saying? It's not about the destination; it's about the journey. Bullshit.
Okay. Who cares about the journey? That's the worst part.
Yeah, I mean, that's the part that stresses me out. It's like nobody says that. It's just like I really love the plane ride to Europe.
It was true. Everyone would just drive around, but we want to go to a place.
Yeah, it's like
Wow.
I went to your wedding, and I drove through that stretch of the five where it just smells like cow manure.
Oh, that's bad. That's an awful drive.
Oh yeah, there's the journey. It's all about that part, right? That might be the opener. We may have our opener there.
Welcome to Know Your Rights, a music podcast from two guys who know just enough about songwriting to start a podcast about.
Follow Rob
and Colton,
as each week we dive into a different band or songwriter and discuss what makes them great,
okay, or otherwise.
Music is law,
and we know our rights. I want to be like, welcome, but I'm afraid. Does that mean that starts this?
That really does kickstart everything.
I had so much food this morning. I'm really sluggish because I had like crazy amounts of food.
I had just a bunch of people in my house. I do this every time we do the podcast. Welcome, everybody. I think it started. The episode's been. It started. It started. We're here. But
oh, God. So welcome, everybody.
Yeah. But ahead, I do the same thing every time before. I want to like throw on my headphones and just go over my notes, listen to the songs that I was. And there were like five people in the house, just loud as hell, playing pool, just boisterous. And I'm
gallivanting
and just asking me questions about this or that. And I'm like, just please get away from me. Like, I'm like, I have to listen to Minus the Bear right now.
That is the energy, everyone, that we're bringing into this podcast. Yeah. Please get away from me. We both have, like, I feel like a porcupine. Like, I feel like incredibly defensive, and I feel very like.
I feel like the Lakers lost.
That's right.
I'm the one
all
who chose
over again.
Yeah, I'm the one who chose this band, and. I won our bet. The Lakers beat the Warriors.
Let's maybe a little context here, everybody. You're probably thinking, Rob, Colton, why are you listening to two albums from Minus the Bear? And if you're someone who's thought about Minus the Bear recently, I don't know what to say. That's crazy. But
thank you for listening.
This is basically because like 1,000 years ago, the Warriors and the Lakers played each other. And what was the outcome of that series, Rob?
The best possible one. I don't have to. I'll say this much. I don't have to listen to Kid Rock because that was basically the arrangement. Is if the Warriors would have won that series, Colton's a Kid Rock fan.
Let's temper that a little bit. I know. Here's the thing. I know a lot about Kid Rock. Like I know up until a certain release. I want to say no, not. American Badass is around the time I fell off the Kid Rock band. I mean, I was a fan. That's not a
that's
thing
right.
I'm going to say. He had a lot of albums. See, I'm hijacking this episode. We're talking about Kid Rock.
But that's okay.
To talk about.
And so I had a tough time because I couldn't think of something where I was like, what does Colton like hate? And you actually suggested to me, you were like, I kind of have an idea. And I was like, oh, that's right. Minus a Bear, they were dicks to you at the Hub, right?
Of
course. Gather
I feel
around,
like
everybody.
I want to set this up a little bit. Yeah. I was going to save it for when we officially got into them. We have our songs we've been listening to, but let me go ahead and explain this quickly. I'm also, if you're listening to this right now and you're a Minus the Bear fan, like if you saw somehow this, I don't even know if I'm going to post this to the, I don't think there is a Minus the Bear subreddit, which makes sense to me.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I worked at UC Santa Barbara while I was a student. On the production crew there, we did all the sound and stuff for all the shows that the associated students paid for. My
at
sister
at the Hub, right?
At the Hub. Well, and everywhere. There were shows like outside. We always did like the afternoon shows like by the lagoon and stuff. too.
Now I'm getting nostalgic.
Nice. It's nice. My sister, Nicole, was kind of like the crew manager there, right? For most of the time that I was working there. It was a lot of fun. Very hard and kind of very stressful. You'd work like 12-hour days. And it's a college, man. So I think college shows overall are about the same. You have college students who are running the sound, doing all the mixing, right? Doing all the booking because
high
it's
high as fuck.
I mean, we definitely have
the likelihood. Yeah, the likelihood is.
When I had people come to crew and like when we're working with expensive equipment, I was like, you can't come on. But it's stressful every now and then because you get really big bands coming through. But overall, I have like a lot of like positive to just non-existent stories about a lot of people. Sure. Minus the Bear was one of those bands that show was already like not off to a good start. It was really their sound people. One guy in particular, like their head sound guy. I wish I could remember his name. It was a ridiculous name. It was like Fuzzy or something. It was the tour they did with Portugal the Man. And I think a few other bands, but man, they were just not nice. And he was awful. He was like yelling from the minute he got there.
So their sound guy.
Well, sound guy initially. And then while during their sound check, I'm like deer in the headlights, like trying to get things working. And they were like, can you do this, please? They were just really jerky the whole time.
A little
not
rude.
Nice.
I guess. And I tried watching interviews based off of this. I watched a couple of Minus the Bear interviews and I was like, the front man seemed a little disinterested in the interviews. Like he was kind of putting on a facade, but I didn't see anything rude.
I mean, here's the thing,
but that's an interview. That's like, you're on camera.
I have a, and this was even before that. Like, I think we've both had this ethos for the most part when we've been in bands, which is, hey, if you're listening to this, you're a musician, be nice to sound people.
Absolutely.
Like, come on.
It's the same thing as like, be nice to the people who are making your food.
It's exactly. The story I always think of is when we played at in Hollywood at, where was it? What, the Battle of the Bands, that second one.
I can't remember. I always,
it's by the Chinese Theater. Oh my Lord.
Yeah. Is it the, I always want to say the Troubadour, but I don't think it is.
I don't think it was Troubadour. Anywho.
That's going to bug me, but we'll probably figure it out.
Fix it and just like do a dub.
Blah. Yeah. Nobody's going to get to hear it. We'll remember the second we finish the episode.
But it was like a big Battle of Bands thing. And I just remember just being myself when we're talking to the lady who's doing the sound. It's in the side room. And she said, are you Mormon or something? Why are you so nice? And I was like, I don't know. And I think we won the second place, and I think we thought, is it because they liked us? Like
I think on top of that too is our buddy's band, who I ended up playing in for a little while, Compliments of Apollo, played right before us, and I think I stood there and held the cable to the monitor, just like, you know how sometimes you get a loose connection and you have to like move the cable to this point and it'll make sound.
Yeah,
I think I held it there their entire set. To try to help them out. And I think there was a little bit of that. Oh, these guys seem cool. They seem all right.
I forgot you did that.
Yeah.
Your solo, though, by the way, on, can we even say the name of that song? Abortion for Rapists. It was the 2000s, everybody. It was a different time.
The point was made. It was about equality.
It was a good song, but the song, your solo was amazing. I remember that.
Yeah, it worked out for that moment.
That was good. Yeah. Anywho, the whole point is, like, when you're in a concert situation and things aren't working, I don't know, it just pays to be nice. And that same show, like Portugal the Man, those guys are very nice. And I've had bands come through where, like, nothing went right. Like, our sound equipment was sometimes a little fritzy. Like, the Deer Hunter. You know those guys?
I've heard of them. I haven't really listened to their music much.
I liked them, you know, a moderate amount when they came by. And I was responsible for that show by myself. It was like an afternoon show. Nothing went right. Anything. And they were so nice. We were really late. And I told them, I was like, this is a nightmare, guys. I'm really sorry. And they were just, it's a college show. You just are nice to people.
Yeah. Well, it's commiseration. If the show's going wrong, it's not just the band. It's also the sound guys. It's like stuff happens and you might as well experience this together, you know?
Yeah, just be cool about it. It was like a weird amount of entitlement. That's what I remember from that night. Yeah. Anywho, that will paint everything I say. I apologize, but I will promise you this. I remember at the time thinking, they're a good band, and I can't even like them anymore. And
do you have a legitimate favorite song? A legitimate, you actually like the song?
So that's what I was thinking. I was thinking, God, now I got to go back and listen to Minus the Bear. Uh-huh. And like recognize that they were a good band, and I was just painted by a bad night, and it was just a bad night for them. I don't know.
It could be. Could
but
be.
But what I've come to realize is I think they are awful. Like, spoiler alert, they're the worst band we've done on this show so far.
And to be fair, if the Warriors would have won and it was Kid Rock, I'd be saying the exact same thing. Like, I don't like this.
I would have loved to show you Early Morning Stone Pimp, though. I think you would have been into it.
Sure. Whatever you say.
I really want to.
I think I said it before. Like, you have a Confederate flag in the background and you're not from the South.
To be clear, he's talking about Kid Rock. He's not talking about me. I'm not rocking my Confederate flag in the background.
Yes, Colton's not doing that.
I always got to fly the Dixie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
About the podcast.
I'm glad you pointed that out. I phrased that totally wrong.
I do think we said we were going to do this before. We are sitting at episode 11. We have finished 10 episodes of Know Your Rights. Have we said this is Know Your Rights, by the way? Do people know the name of this podcast? Know Your Rights.
Yeah, it's Know Your Rights. Colton, how's the email go? I'm putting it on you this week or this time around.
No.org. You don't need to have a dot. Thank you, Jason Maxwell. No.
Did we start that one?
That's a dot your dot W-R-I-T-E-S at gmail.com. There we go.
Well, I wasn't sure if you included podcasts at the end of it.
Oh my God, I didn't include podcasts. Yeah. Cut all that out.
Everybody, this is season two, and we came off of a little bit of a hiatus.
Right. We're rusty. Yeah, well, I don't know. Rusty. We're okay. We're doing good. Cut that out. We're doing great. Cut it.
Yeah. I'll just cut it out and kick it in from you going, like, we're doing great.
We're doing great. No. your.rights.podcast@gmail.com.
How's right spelled? Come on, dude. You're just
W-R-I-T-E-S. You always ask me.
It is fun. It is fun.
But I think it is nice to have a little bit of a look back. What would you, if you had to give a one-word review of our first 10 episodes, what word would you use?
Rob.
This is the content people came for.
Yeah, exactly.
That's excellent.
Beginnings.
Beginnings. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. It has been, I mean, I think what we both talked about and what you might notice, listeners, going forward is that we're gonna mess with the format a little bit.
There
will be times where we might do an entire discography again, but I think both of us have over the course of these last couple of months recognized it is a lot to
it is really, really taxing. It's something. That's an adventure trying to listen to the same six albums multiple times.
And also, I think, as importantly, I don't always think that it gives the songs like the best chance to. I think we've brought that up with a bunch of bands. I think the Hives were the first band where I really saw that happening. Where I was like, I would have a much better opinion of a lot of those later Hives albums if I was just happening upon one of them on like a Saturday afternoon.
Yeah. I mean, Black and White album is still a terrible album. I don't like that album.
Nothing was going to help Giddy Up. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, just it's really difficult to do. And it's really something to the fact that we want this to be an interactive experience between the listeners and us. It's not fair to ask the listeners to do the same thing.
Yeah, they're like, we didn't sign up for this. Yeah, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, sorry. I've talked to people who listen to the podcast regularly. They're like, no, I didn't nerd out on it. Maybe I'll listen to like an album here or there.
Why
would I do that? Okay, all right, you're giving me an idea of how we might want to switch this up a little bit.
We're going for slightly, I think, more sizable bites. Now, we every now and then, if we have a band where I think we're saying in the 4 to 5 album range, might be doable, but we're also going to go for some eras. Yeah. Also some broader topics. We're going to switch it up, people, because exactly. That's just it. That's what happens when you don't have a huge listener base. You can do whatever you want. Yeah.
We're going through changes.
I was afraid you were going to start singing Minus the Bear, and I was like, I'm not ready yet, Rob. No, I can't do this.
I think that's the reason we just said all of that is because I don't think we're really ready for breaking down Minus the Bear.
Well, I
these
like
two
you.
Particular albums.
I know you have notes. I'm looking at your notes right now. I have notes. I have a list of. Well, I have a list, and we're going to go through it. But before we do that, the same thing we always do, this has not changed, is no. I'm going to ask you, Rob, what have you been listening to recently?
Well, it's been about, a month since the last time we...
It's been a minute. You look good, by the way. I always tell you that.
Thanks,
but
man.
I mean it.
Thanks.
This is where, no pressure.
You always look good. You always look good, man. I'll forever envy your beard. I'm sure you could see the peach fuzz on my face right now.
I can. Oh, I thought that was shadows. Go ahead. What do you?
It essentially is.
What you've been listening?
The hair is clear, but it does cast a shadow.
Good.
So I've listened to plenty of stuff, but the one thing that stood out in my head, and this was kind of a thought experiment, was I listened to Knights of Cidonia the other day. It just came up. It came on randomly. And instantly I went like, this is one of the best songs from the aughts. I think it's one of the best like singles from the aughts. Do you agree with that at all? Do you like that song?
I don't think I've had as much love for Muse as I know that you have. I don't dislike Muse at all.
Sure. I'm actually kind of in the same camp. I'm not a diehard Muse fan, but I do like plenty of songs from them.
I do remember, I think Knights of Cidonia is... One of the Muse songs is that I've probably gotten the closest to just being really into or just really admired. I can't even remember what their first single was.
Oh, it was come on, brain. This part will be cut a little bit. And I just looked this up too because I was telling somebody the other day that I don't like their first single, or at least their first single in the States.
Was it Time Is Running Out?
Yeah, Our Time Is Running Out. Yeah, that song. I remember seeing it, and it's just like, Muse is coming to the States. And I watched the video, and I'm like, it's okay. But, you know, Hysteria came out later. I thought that was a really cool song. They have plenty of singles, but Knights of Cidonia was one that I just felt like you put yourself into this this epoch. Like, Dora, it's like you're part of... Did I use that term correctly, epoch? I don't think I did. Did I?
It's kind of like your era, this era. Like
you really you established yourself in this time frame. Yeah. And that song just felt like it's not as good as The Sweetness. To me, from the aughts, The Sweetness is the best song, Jimmy Eat World.
That's close. I mean, we already talked about one that I would put up there, which is Weak and Powerless.
Yep. Yeah. Weak and Powerless is one that I would throw into that category.
And but I mean, we're talking about like rock singles, right?
Yeah, rock singles. Because when you sent that text message where I'm like, no, Britney Spears Toxic doesn't get to fit into this.
Can I say, like, it's weird to me where when everyone talks about Britney Spears, they're like, well, except for Toxic, that song's awesome. I don't know.
I remember we were at a party or something like that. And for some reason, we were having the debate what people would say is the greatest Britney Spears song. And I said Toxic. And I can't remember what you said, but you were just like, no, it's not going to be that. And damn near everybody we asked, it was just Toxic. Toxic. And you're like, what the hell's happening right now? I was like, I told you, man. I think I understand what people are going to choose.
There's no love for Womanizer. I don't get it. Yeah. That's a good...
I wish that we were more topical or more up to date with everybody, because that Victor Wembanyama thing with Britney Spears was weird as hell.
I only read the headline. I did not read anything about it, but I'm aware of the fact that someone in his security team smacked her. Is that allegedly, or is that like a thing?
They kind of pushed her aside and her own hand slapped her. There's video footage out there that I'm sure all of our listeners have seen already.
We'll take a stance then on this. Well,
there's your sports talk. There's your sports talk, everybody. We still
this
had to sneak it in.
This sports talk. Well, yeah. I'm down for that though. I mean, I think when I listened to Knights of Cidonia, when you texted me this last night, and it made me think, and this, as much as we're talking about the aughts, there's an era in music that I associate with when Guitar Band was really, or Guitar Hero was really popular. And this is kind of, it's weird to think about. Absolutely.
I was going to bring up Guitar Hero and Rock Band, you know.
Yeah. It's crazy that that is like a, that's like a real thing, I think, where it brought back like guitar based music in a way I don't think was around.
Yeah. And it was so fun playing those games. Oh my God.
And Knights of Sidonia is a perfect, I don't even know if it was on Guitar Hero, but it's a perfect. Okay.
Well, there you go. Absolutely was. Yeah. And it was fun as hell to play.
Yeah, it's like
easy, medium, or hard. You're gonna have a good time.
I really appreciate it. I do think when we talk about Jimmy Eat World, the sweetness, we both have said this, that is like a perfect single. And it is.
That song's amazing. And by the way, I think I told you about this, and I'm sorry everybody, this is a quick side note. I finally got Futures on vinyl.
Hey. That's pretty.
It's so cool. I really lucked out, but I think it's because they're on tour with a Manchester Orchestra.
How weird is that, by the way? It's like,
it seems fairly fitting.
I don't know why it's so weird. It's weird to me because it's like a tour where if I was like in my early 20s, early in my teens, I'd be like, I gotta be at this thing. Oh, and now I see it and I go, oh, neat, that's happening.
Yeah, okay, that I completely relate to that tour. It's just like, okay, cool. Do it. I hope you guys post it on YouTube.
That's right.
So I can watch from the comfort of my own house.
Rob and I are not big concert goers.
No. I mean, I'm going on vacation this weekend and I'm dreading it. It's a terrible, terrible starting point, but I'm sure I'll have fun.
I think we will have to do a kind of an aughts retrospect, because as we're talking about this, in my first or my listen that I've done this week, is another double aughts band that like had some, I think there's another one up there. No One Knows that I love that single, but I don't think you and I've ever talked about Queens of the Stone Age.
No. And not really. I listened to them a little bit. I've definitely heard plenty of songs, but they're not a band that I really dove into. And just went like, I got to listen to anytime they release an album, I got to listen to it. Yeah. But it's always been good. I haven't really heard anything that's bad.
I think it's very similar to my like rediscovery, I don't know what you call it, of Tool, where I feel like I'm at an age now where
it reared its head again.
I just started. Oh,
here's Tool again, everybody.
Although I've taken a major hibernation on Tool. I think I'm giving it a second. And then
I don't think you should. I think you should just go to like the earlier stuff.
Back to Fear Inoculum.
Yeah. That's going to be how you dive back in. Yeah. But anyway, I'm sorry to cut you off.
No, but Queens of Stone Age, their newest record in Times New Roman, it's really good.
Yeah. And that's what this song is off of.
Record. Emotion Sickness it was the lead single. And the record's out now. But I've been listening to that single before the record came out. It was like an everyday thing. It's just a lot of fun.
It's a good tune. It's fun. I love the. It always is interesting to me because when the chorus hits, I keep wondering how does he do this live? Because it's like it's got the low voice and then it's got the falsetto over the top. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a lot of voices on it, but it's all his voice. So I'm always curious how that gets executed.
When it's got those like Thin Lizzy guitars going.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Ooh, that's good.
Oh yeah, thank you. I'm glad you did that because baby don't go. It's and by the way, I have heard from the fans they really love when you and I do that.
I don't know how are we supposed to like. We don't have like this is if it's us as we would talk to each other on the phone. This is what it's like, people.
Yeah, I talked to somebody the other day who was telling me, it's like, I don't know, you may want to change it may want to change the name of the podcast, which obviously we're not going to do that. We're way too far in now.
No.
But they were just like, you don't really talk about like the dynamics of songwriting. And I'm like, well, it's intangible sometimes. Sometimes humming it is the best way to get it across.
Well, I think there's a lot we could talk about with Minus the Bear. That would force you to go into the mechanics of songwriting. Mm-hmm. Because I was at different points scratching my head going, what went wrong with this song? Like, what is
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. especially with Menos el Oso.
Oh, Menos el Oso. Oh, yeah. Even the name, it's hard to not roll my eyes.
Oh, of course. Well, literally the band name, I Roll My Eyes. Do you know how they came up with the band name?
Yeah, but by the way, we're doing this, right? We're officially moving into
Mice
the Bear.
I think so.
I know the story, but tell people, because this is just another... Okay, tell the story.
Yep. So they like to write a lot of songs that feel like they're like romantic and sometimes... Yeah, I saw that smirk on your face, Colton, and it's understandable. It is understandable, but... or maybe like relationship oriented, or maybe how you interact with the opposite sex. And again, we really need to get on a video platform here so you can see some of the smirks that Colton makes. but yeah, apparently one of the members, I don't even think the member is still in the band.
Or it was like a friend of the band. This is all Wikipedia to me, but yeah.
Yeah, same here. Well, of course, Wikipedia, please sponsor us. I'm going to keep going for this. but basically he came back from a date and they asked him how the date went, and apparently they all knew about this show called BJ and the Bear, and he went like, well, you know, the date went like that show minus the bear,
and that's what they
named their band after, is him telling his friends that he got a blowjob on his...
You can't pick a more perfect story to open this, because this is, when I think about the band and my problem with them, like there's a discussion about musicianship, and person who asked Rob about why we don't go into the dynamics of songwriting. I think in a way we do. Like, I think there's ways to think about songwriting from like a musical level, right? With like chords, progressions,
scales, time
signatures. Yeah. There's, to me, that's musicianship. That is at a level. Like, I do think you have to have an idea for, depending on what genre of things you're doing, like how you're putting those things together. I think that minus the bear is somewhat made up, although certain songs make me question that, but they're made up of good musicians. They're not good songwriters. Like, I say that with no hesitation.
That's fine. That's fine. I'm not even kind of surprised that you say that. I still think you may hold a little bit of a grudge.
And we can say grudge, whatever, everyone. That's fine. But I feel this in my bones, because I remember thinking, I'm going to have to like recognize that they're good. And all these times I've had a bad feeling. I don't feel that, man. They are they're a very dumb band. Weirdly
should we just
dumb.
Get into rankings right now or ratings right now? let's skip the conversation then.
Right. Tell me this. Well, it's low, but like,
of course. Mine's not
what
that
is
high.
Your like when Mice the Band was going? This is like in the 2000s, right? I mean, what Manos El Oso is 2005, Planet of Ice.
Actually, to dive into sports talk, the reason I think I hate this album, I've discovered I don't like this album. There's songs off the album that I really love, but the album overall is bad. But I realized that album was released on Kobe's birthday, and that makes me that much more upset. It was released on August 23rd, 2005. And it's like, you're doing a disservice. You don't release an album on Kobe's birthday and it's a bad album. You just don't do that.
That's strike one.
Yeah. That's strike two. That at least adds two. That's in today's baseball terms, that's like you didn't get into the plate before the pitch clock, so you have a strike already added, and then you came in and went like with Kobe's birthday, so it's two strikes.
This is awful. See, we're gonna do so much sports talk now. I feel it. That's what season two is gonna be about.
Yeah, well, that was my subtle way of sneaking it in.
It doesn't work when I talk about it, does it?
As a diehard Kobe fan, right when I read August 23rd, so I'm like, that's Kobe's birthday.
But what was your, as you were celebrating Kobe's birthday with whatever birthday cake, what was your like perception of Minus the Bear when they were putting out records? Like, and these two specifically, like, do you remember what you thought of them? Like, even if it was just like from afar.
I think basically when we did, when I said it's going to be Manos El Oso and Planet of Ice, I was remembering like, oh, well, Manos El Oso is a good album. And then I realized there's like three songs off of it. And I just had one particular friend who I won't name because I don't want him to get made fun of for liking them so much. But he would play just particular songs off of Manos El Oso. And I was like, this sounds great. Mm-hmm. I mean, we could start with underrated song if you want to kind of.
I mean, I'm happy going any way you want, brother.
Yeah, because you don't want to be here right now.
I'm actually super excited to talk about this. I've been storing this up because I want to release it. What is your underrated?
My underrated is The Pig War. Okay. I think that song is really good. I think that song's really good. I have to kind of remind myself, though, yet again.
Yeah, I want to listen to it, too.
Cool. It's been so long. Oh, come on, man. That chorus is good. Okay, so what makes the chorus bad?
What do you like about this?
Well, first of all, it does start off with a little bit of that Radiohead style starting point with that little like programmed drum beat. Mm-hmm. But I think the flow into the chorus is really good. The man on the boat's deck leaves a cold hand on my neck. But you're probably going to dive into maybe more of a lyrical thing, but I think the sonic execution is pretty solid.
I think this goes back to what I was saying before, though. Like when I listen to some of these tracks on Manus also specifically here, I'm talking about this, where when I listen to even like The Game Needed Me, right? I listen to like some of those riffs and stuff. I'm like, this is, if I'm like listening to this band like jam without a lyricist or a vocalist or whatever, I'm mm-hmm. like, oh, this is interesting. But it's nothing where I think putting it together in the way that they've done it, like, and then we have to talk about it. He's an mm-hmm. awful vocalist, and he's an awful, like really bad lyricist. It's crazy how bad he is.
I'm gonna definitely push back a little on that.
Push.
Something that I liked when they were first coming out was he was one of the few guys out there who sang in a lower register. That was something I kind of like, especially at the height of that time frame. Most vocalists had like a much higher pitch, a much more what is it, alto?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he sung more in a baritone, and I kind of admired that. So saying awful, I don't think is accurate. He sings the notes correctly, so you just don't like the sound of his voice.
Oh, I think awful is, I don't know, I feel good about it. Here's the thing. He makes every song sound so vanilla. And like when you have a band like that produces music like this, it makes me think of Cirque du Soleil, right? Not that they're the same, like they're actually quite different, but we could do something closer. What about like Pinback, right?
Okay.
I think you're going for a sound that's very ethereal. Right. That's very like spacey, abstract. When I'm living in those parts of Minus the Bear, I'm the happiest. And the song that I chose is my favorite. We'll get to it in a second, I know, but.
Well, I was going to say, you still have to say underrated, which is.
Well, it's off of Manus Oloso.
I can't wait.
And I think they are the best they can be when they are leaning towards abstraction and when the music is pushing that. I think when they try to be like a. Like Blood, Sweat, and Tears, like kind of more like rock and roll band, it all comes apart.
Again, we're not talking about the band Blood, Sweat, and Tears, right?
No. Although I was at the, did I tell you I went to the funeral for their old lead singer? He passed away? This was like, he was someone in the band. I was at one of their funerals because my grandpa.
Oh,
we don't have to put that in. I just had to mention that.
No, that's cool. That's cool.
It's nice. Anywho, I think when they go towards, that's why I asked you to listen to My Time off of Omni. Did you have time to do it?
I did. Yes. And My Time was taken by My Time.
So do you see, this is what I'm trying, the point I'm trying to make is when they are trying to be like more of a band that's less doing like those like mathy progressions, right? And more kind of spacey sounds. I think that's where you see like their weakness to me. Like they're really robotic. And his voice doesn't help with that. His voice lacks any and all emotion
I don't fully agree, man. The chorus on The Pig Wars.
But what's he talking about?
Oh, well, I never care. You already
talking
know
about
that.
Going to the beach.
I think he's talking about Bay of Pigs.
That whole record is about going to the beach. And what's on the cover, Rob? What's on the cover of the record?
Don't remember.
They're on a beach.
Well, then what the hell, man? Jimmy Buffett isn't bad. Like, it's fine to go that route.
But Jimmy Buffett is someone who sings about the beach and he embraces it. He is like, hey, I'm a beach bum. I'm a guy. Minus the Bear. I asked you about their perception, right? Because my perception of Minus the Bear was they were this like kind of intelligent indie rock band who was like very like, you know, thoughtful about things, the way they're going about it. That's like their whole kind of image.
At least they weren't necessarily caught up in the like, I'm so brokenhearted. Like, it was like feel good. Come on, man.
I don't feel good. It's on the books. This is insane.
That's a good chorus. The outro of the
pushing back.
The outro of that. The outro of that song is also really cool. The musical element of it. So I mean, that kind of fits into what you're saying. But I don't think his voice is as bad as you think.
His voice is bad.
I think you just remember him going like, "What are we doing here?" And that just like every single time he sings a lyric, you're just like, "I just hear him being mad at me for not doing my job."
I'm telling you, that is. That's not factoring into it because I was
ready. There's an element.
I'm telling you the truth.
You weren't ready.
They upset me because they are, I can deal with people who make art where I just don't like jive with it. Like I can't connect with it. We've talked about bands where I've said, you know what? Like I really admire them and there's nothing I admire about this band. They made me so sad for 2 weeks. I like was sad. I had to like find things to.
You better talk to Steph Curry about this, man.
All right. I am upset. Well, no, Jordan Poole's who I'm really upset by.
Draymond Green, can Colton please come on your podcast?
Oh, he would talk to me about Minus the Bear. No, he would. It's Michio's Death Drive, by the way. That's my underrated.
Really?
Yeah. It's fine.
Okay. It's okay. It's okay.
It's heavy. It made me wonder. I was like, if they went heavier every now and then, I think it might help them. I don't know. That record, like I remember, and like again, I think when the lyrics are headed more towards abstraction, when he's not writing about women, like he shouldn't write about women ever. I think it's better.
And well, that song, I think it never gets its bearings. I think that song just never finds. I mean, how much do we really want to talk about this song? And I'm happy you said the actual first word because I was just like, it's one of my categories. But oh, I was like, is it Michio's?
I think they're talking about the physicist. I think.
Oh,
okay. I don't actually.
Who's this physicist?
What's his face?
That's exactly where I'm at. What did
Michio Kaku?
Okay. I don't know.
Never mind. We got to cut this. He's
no.
If you
no,
look
him
up, you might recognize him.
All right, but what makes him famous? He's just
like
physics?
He's like the, who's that other black physicist, astrophysicist?
Neil deGrasse Tyson?
They're like in the same vein. He does the same kind of stuff as he does.
Okay, all right.
Nah.
Well then, all right, I figured just to kind of keep the ebb and flow of this going the right way.
Yeah.
Worst song is Michio's Death Drive.
That's fine.
Yeah, I think that song never figures itself out, and it's mindless. That's a mindless song. I don't think it accomplishes anything.
And I completely
agree
with you.
Well, you're gonna say that about the entire.
But that's a mindless song that identifies itself as a mindless song. Like, give me, if you're not gonna give me anything of substance, give me energy at least. That's how
Come on, man. The Pig War has like a story to it. Like they're hanging out on the beach. You may not
every
like that
song.
That's fine, but at least I don't know.
Talking about how pretty the beach is.
Why did they bring up Michio? Like, what is their physics talked about in this song?
No. Why did they bring up anything they bring up, man? That's
because if they're hanging out on the beach, you bring up you're hanging out on the beach. If I was doing this podcast sitting on the beach. We would talk about me being on the beach, right?
Would the song be called? But I would not want to do that podcast.
I would call it DeGrasse Tyson.
DeGrasse Tyson. Neil DeGrasse. Is that what that show's about? I don't even know.
I think so. Yeah. It's about Neil DeGrasse Tyson. Was that the one that Drake was on, or am I thinking of a different one?
It is, okay. Yeah. That's... Didn't we like watch a bunch of DeGrasse at a house one time? Were you with me when we did that?
I definitely didn't.
Oh, I remember.
It took years into Drake's very famous career for somebody to bring it up to me, and they're like, he was on DeGrasse. I'm like, is this a podcast? I've never heard of this.
Okay, can we? I have my worst song. You ready for it?
Every single one?
No. Okay, here's the thing. Fulfill the Dream.
Okay, I think I have it.
It's a grouping. Fulfill the Dream, White Mystery, When We Escape. My Time is a bonus. Basically, any time that he writes about sex.
Oh, man. What's funny is in my notes, I got it wrong because I predicted you were going to say it for this category. But in my notes, I said, White Mystery is not overrated. I have that written in my notes. I know Colton's going to bring that. That song's good. I don't know. No,
those songs are so bad. Like, and the reason I bring them all
up. Come on, man.
Like, I was like, here's the thing. There should be a law enacted where if you write like a truly awful song about sex, you shouldn't be allowed to have it anymore.
But that's this music guy, already on White Mystery. That's the one that I'm going to kind of. I don't know what this gesture is that I'm doing. I'm throwing Rob's something at you.
Flicking his opinion at me through a variety of fingers.
but no, that song, the music feels sexy. It feels the mood.
Oh, how dare you? Oh, how dare you? Boom, doom, boom, boom. That's so. Boom, boom. You know what's funny? You can look this up later. So I know we're not talking about this record, so I don't want to keep harping on it. But My Time, you've heard that song. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Off of Omni, everybody.
Yeah. There's a video on YouTube of, I think it's just the main vocalist, Jake Snyder. And I believe their keyboardist, Alex Rose. I don't think, because the other musicians are, what's his name? Daryl Hall? Is it Daryl Hall from Hall & Oates?
Sure.
I think it's his. He has a YouTube series called Daryl's House, which is kind of cool. He like has a bunch of like bands come over with his band and he plays guitar. And they play a lot of that band's music. I think Gym Class Heroes had one that I remember watching.
I liked them.
And so his band is like a group of like touring musicians. They're just really good session players, right?
Okay.
And they all play, I mean, Hall & Oates, right? That's like really groovy, like radio music.
Jimmy Butler, the Michelob Ultra commercial where he's dancing around to that song. Yeah.
I always think of 500 Days of Summer. Anyway, right. So when you hear them play that song, you're like, oh, there's like a somewhat good R&B groove behind this.
Oh, yeah.
But they're so mechanical that they feel so inhuman when they play. Oh, and with the kinds of the songs they're trying to play, his lyrics are so creepy. And they're also...
I don't oppose that.
Bonnie and... There's a quote from Ian Cohen, who I don't jive with a lot of what Pitchfork has to say about people, but he wrote a really good review of Minus the Bear. He's talking about My Time, but he's saying Snyder's vocals never simmer, smolder, or steam. Instead, they just kind of lay there like a rumpled polo shirt, adding a creepy dimension to the keg hovering come on. I think calling his vocals a rumpled polo shirt is so perfect.
That's good writing. That's not bad.
That's my problem with all of his songs is they feel so, it feels like a band where they all came together. I know he was a vocalist before this, but they were playing their music and they said, which one of us can sing? And he was like, I could try.
I like that he sticks within his wheelhouse. He doesn't try to push outside of it. There are certain artists, myself included, who try to do more than they're capable of, and I like the fact that
you compare yourself to Minus the Bear. I love
what's,
you
what's
and
the
I
name of this vocalist
too much
I love
this.
The fact we're
Jake
talking
Snyder.
Jake Snyder, okay.
I just those whenever I listen to those songs and then I read the lyrics
good.
And I was just like, can't, man, this is not great.
I'm sorry, man. White Mystery is not a bad song.
It's a bad song.
I guarantee
You're never going to listen to that song again. Are you going to listen to White Mystery?
Oh, I think so. I'll listen to Planet Advice again. I like that album. I really like that album.
I just, can I try to crystallize what I'm saying here for my own clarity?
Sure.
Minus the Bear poses as a band with something to say. They have nothing to say.
I agree with that. That's fine. But I don't care about the lyrics. I just want to feel the vibes of the song. Come on,
lyrics,
man.
Like, when have to matter.
Not to it. Not with a band like this. With a band like this.
Well, then there's a certain limit they can't get to that.
When you hit, that's fine. That's fine. Perfectly fine. But I mean, like, you hit the chorus. When you hit the chorus of White Mystery, that guitar work on that, I'm like, that's creative. That was cool. That's a cool little, like, adding in with the lead guitar part. It's a delayed little effect on it. And I'm just like, that. And the vocals are obviously not doing anything. They're just holding out a freaking note. Like, yeah, okay. It just feels good. It just feels good. And at that point in time, you're trying to have sex. You're not trying to listen to the damn song.
No one is having sex to this song.
I guarantee That's you never people happened. Are having sex to this song.
That's the worst. I can't even imagine.
Listeners, please email us your stories of having sex to this song.
No, don't email stories to us.
Get
just
as graphic
yes
as you want. Get as graphic as you want. Please
text
tell me.
Text them to Rob McGregor.
When did you finish? And it was definitely during this song.
I have one other.
Another worst song?
Just a bonus. Lotus.
How many do you? Oh yeah, Lotus is. But that's at the end of Manusa also, right?
No, it's at the end of Planet Advice.
Oh, it is.
That's
kind of the more forgettable one. I think they went out without a splash.
Made me want to go to church because it's all I don't know. It's a very
that makes it a really good thing, man. You need
it's a very lukewarm atheist song that I just kind of
yeah.
Anywho,
they tried at least, man. Give them some credit.
Can we inject something here? I want to talk about best song.
All right, here we go.
Knights.
Knights. Knights is a good song. Give me one second because I know the song for sure, but
it's got that like heavily programmed,
which I think is a very Minus the Bear element.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah, I think they do a lot of that kind of a staccato. There you go for my buddy who says I don't use enough musical terminology.
Yeah, we're both kind of, our feathers are a little rumpled, but yeah. talking about.
Yeah, like, come on, man. We are songwriters still. But yeah, it's got that little staccato because they like to do that like bom, bom, ba, bom, ba, 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 ba. And it has a little bit of a sampley vibe to it. I actually got to let it play a little bit further because I do know. And I like this drum beat because he's not doing the ands. He's really a big fan of doing the and on the hi-hat. Yeah, no, I mean...
That little riff.
Yeah.
and I loved like the bridge. I thought that was fun. Like, I
a little
feel
like dun 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 that part.
Yeah, that guitar line. Like, I think there are, like, I just think there should be a jam band. Like, I'd be into an instrumental Minus the Bear that's like a jam band, or if they leaned heavier on the programming. That's the other thing I think they, because I agree with you with this. I think when I listen to like the opening of Knights, and it's like the opening of Planet of Ice, mm-hmm. and even The Game Needed Me. I think when they are leaning heavier into the programming part of things and not trying to be like a 2000s indie band, like weirdly in the vein of like Death Cab for Cutie, I think if they lean heavier towards that programming side, they're more interesting to me. I don't know.
I can see it, but I also, there's moments where I don't see it. I think there are times where they step out a little bit, but I do like that they have that programming vibe. I don't think you got something against Jake's voice. This is great, man.
It's just so boring, man. I just can't. And it's also if he was like singing stuff that I like was moved by or interested in, it'd be one thing. I think I talked about this with Milk Carton Kids. Uh-huh. They have songs about people and songs about scenery. And it's the same thing Like when I, there's certain times where I see him trying to tell a story, right? So it's, what's the Manos El Oso song where he's talking from like the perspective of a grizzled detective who's seen like a crime scene that he like wants to protect his daughter.
I didn't listen to his lyrics. I don't freaking know what song.
Yeah. Okay. Of course. It's bad. It's not good.
Man. Yeah. Like he doesn't captivate me in the sense where I'm like, oh yeah, it's lyrics. I got to listen to what he's saying. And it's like, yeah, I thought sonically his bored, monotonous voice worked.
But when you hear what he's saying, you're like, oh, does he actually mean this? Or what's the other one? Hooray.
Hooray. Yeah. Yeah. And I had Hooray. Where did I put that in? That was potentially an underrated song for me.
Yeah, it's just a snow day. He's talking about how like, oh, we enjoy snow days when we're younger, and when we grow up, we have to go to work. So it's like, nah. Here's the thing about you though.
There's
Rob,
some
and I know this about
that,
you,
man.
You are an amazing lyricist. And
let's drop me down one tier on
no,
that.
No, I won't.
Can
I go
to good?
I refuse
go
to good? It.
Okay, all right, I appreciate
when
it.
When you write stuff. And I think Alex put it the best way that I could. Birthday dad, everybody.
Oh, okay. I think we talked to him recently. Yeah, that's true.
Recently, yeah. He said about Blink-182, he said, they don't have to write music like we have to write music. And that's how I feel about.
I can see that.
Jake Snyder, where I think they write the music, they write the band, and then he goes and he writes on a notepad. And he writes this stuff. Like,
that's
kind of
how I felt about. That's how I felt about Michio's Death Drive.
Mm-hmm.
That song, when I was listening, I was like, "You wrote the music, and now you're in the studio, and you need to have singing. So let's go do it."
And they sent him into a room with a notepad and say, "Write the lyrics to the." And I think that's my problem with as a band. And to me, a band has to include, like, if you're gonna have a vocalist and lyrics, it's because it has to all be activated within each other. Like I could listen to a band just jam, maybe not when I was younger, but now today.
Well, that's all you do now.
Yeah. That's my,
just throw on some jazz music, make some pancakes.
Less annoyed by, I had pancakes today.
I knew it. I was certain of this.
Little sunshine. But I think nights to me, I said before, it leans towards abstraction, but it's where I think they're piecing things together. Those guitar lines are cool.
Yeah.
I'm into it.
Yeah, and mine, and you're probably going to just go like, no, he sung on it, so it's a terrible song. But Ice Monster. I like that song, man. I really like that song. I think I'm usually not a big fan of tempo changes. Do you even, when I say Ice Monster, can you even hear the song in your head at all?
Are you playing it right now?
Yeah,
I'm going back.
That's fair.
But you agree with me, there's a bit of blending that happens. Right.
Sure. I just want to keep you happy, man.
Son of a bitch.
And he is doing that that and beat, you know, like one and. That when you do the on the drums with the hi-hat throw, it's like 1, 2, 3, 4, once.
Yes.
It's just like
She's gone.
I'm usually not the biggest fan of a tempo change, but I think this song executes it seamlessly. It doesn't seem forced. And I think the vocal melody is really good. The outro of the song, I think, is great. And it's got a cool vibe to it. I mean, I guess lyrically, it seems like it's just like, get over this chick, but I don't know. I only hear the lyrics in the chorus.
But you could write a song about that. I'm sorry. Because I don't dislike this song. You can write. I mean, we both have written and had listened to songs that are like that, but it's just done in the least interesting way. Anywho,
I disagree.
And that's a global comment, not specifically necessarily about Ice Monster.
Okay.
But globally, like Sue Soup's bad, like gross. I don't know how else to say it. But I don't know
how to respond to it.
Thank you, Jordan Poole, for your awful shot taking in the fourth quarter.
But no, the song, I think it's got a good, like I said, when it just she's gone across the board. Like, I think that vocal melody hits. I think it hits. That song would mean nothing to me without the vocals. And again, everybody, we should be on a video platform because I got eyebrows moving in a whole bunch of different directions looking at Colton right now.
I think this is a great opportunity to discuss or just to recognize there's like a total subjective thing here. I just don't buy it. And you can, I know I don't have tons of credibility. I also don't care how much credibility I have. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about to our listener base.
Of course.
It really is to me, I think. Yeah. I just expected more is the thing. I think
you didn't.
Songs I had listened to. I said this before. Songs I had
and
listened
to. And I didn't
to
buy
I
it like, before.
It's going to be hard for me to find criticism other than just this one bad experience. I just, man, it's one of those things where you feel crazy. Like you have that band, Rob, I know you do, where people are like, God, how good are they? And you go, I feel crazy that people think this band is good.
Well, I mean, I have an artist.
Yeah.
Kid Rock.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah,
that's one where I go like, anybody who likes this should really
without
like Minus the Bear more.
Any sense of irony, I could tell you, I've heard Kid Rock songs that have more to say. But listen to Abortion by Kid Rock. That's a good song. I don't care. America.
We're listening to it right now, everybody. We're listening to it right now.
I just can't let it out.
He did not sing it that way.
He does sing it that way.
He doesn't sing it that way. You have like a more like clean voice. He's going to.
I got to get a little. Ugh.
Yeah, you got to put a little more rap in there.
I just can't let it out. You do a great Kid Rock.
Fuck. I may cut that. I may leave it in. It depends on how I feel listening
this
back to this
great.
While editing. Yeah.
All right. I think we've taken a bit of a route to get here, but I think we're at overrated.
Overrated song. That's right. Let me get to my notes, which this week, everybody, I'm not saying that sarcastically. I legitimately have notes.
You have notes. It's amazing.
But of course, that just shows that I.
And then
in previous episodes, I didn't need to take notes because I cared. that should make you happy, Colton. Overrated song. I got Pachuca Sunrise.
I agree with you.
Yeah, it starts off so promising, mm-hmm. and then it just hits that dull, dull chorus. And like, and again, it's at that like 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah. He really loved that and drum beat.
Yeah.
And for anybody who doesn't know what I'm saying, one and two. You know, like, or it's that on the and. Instead of going 1, 2, 3, 4, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2.
There's a definite kind of like, almost, it's weirdly like Franz Ferdinand, like that like dance rock vibe. It's kind of through a lot of that record specifically.
Which, by the way, Franz Ferdinand, I like you guys. I think you made really great songs. Well, I had to say that because you compared Minus a Bear to Franz Ferdinand.
I got nothing. I know. Now I feel like I'm like filled with vitriol. Like, it's like, oh, no one wants to be name checked.
Yeah. Weezer is loving this episode because now they're just going like, sweet, man. Like, we got our asses torn apart on the first episode. And now
it made me
Minus a Bear
so
is
much
just,
more grateful for Weezer. Trust me.
Yeah.
But I agree.
But yeah, when it hits that chorus, I like, don't stop, I'll bring this home to you. It's like, this. It is what you said. It's that notepad situation.
Yeah. I think that's the thing is with a lot of like the way that the lyrics like intermingle with the music, it feels like you're trying to find the right place to put the words. But it's. Like there's doesn't feel organic. And I think you can do that. Like you can write music and then go back and put words to it and it can work. But we already talked about this, like the idea that with when you're writing stuff and even if it's not necessarily about the lyrical quality, but the melody, how everything works together, you have to take that into account.
Well, that's the most important thing to me. You could write great lyrics, but if your vocal melody sucks, I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I'd rather read the poem.
So, okay, this is perfect because Pachuca Sunrise is my overrated and I have, of course I have extras. Basically this is my list.
I did have an extra too. So
I'll be curious if we nail it. Any song where he attempts to sing about nature and or a beach. That's what I have written down. And so Pachuca Sunrise, this ain't a surfing movie. Hooray. Drilling. There's more.
None of those are mine because I could care less. Again, mine is like,
of course,
lyrics be damned.
I've read more than a few times, and not in every, like, that's why I think Pitchfork is like the first time I actually agree with Pitchfork in a number of things, because they gave Futures, that beautiful record that you have on your bed, one of the worst reviews I've ever read in my life. Pitchfork did. This is way back in early. So even like
for everybody who doesn't know, Pitchfork is to me, it's online. I don't know if there was a
magazine. It is. I don't think they ever, they might have had a print thing, but I don't think so.
Yeah. But yeah, they do a whole bunch of reviews, but yeah, they've lost so much respect for me if they thought that Futures was,
I'm gonna
hug my record really quick.
They tore it apart. Ian Cohen, that
worry,
guy,
girl.
I
don't
quoted,
worry, girl, you're great.
I actually like him a lot. I think he's a great writer, but I think the word I keep hearing about him as a songwriter is poetic, and it bugs me just a little bit, because when I read Jake the Snake,
Jake the Snake.
It's just like when he's...
That's a sports reference, everybody. That's a...
When he's writing about these beaches, and that's what they are. Like, one's like him on a vacation to the Mediterranean, right? That's Pachuca Sunrise. Yep. How his girlfriend misses him. He wants to... I mean, let's take a picture, bro. I don't know. Anywho. So when he uses this, it's like the worst creative writing. Like, took one class at a community college, and everything, there's like... multiple references to the way the like sand glitters from the sun, like in every song, it's that. I think we're talking about, hey, it doesn't matter the music. That's true.
Is that like Incubus with like this guy looks like a?
Oh yeah, I wish you were here.
Yeah, and the blue blanket with like, I don't remember, salt sprinkled on it, something like that. But yeah, like,
oh yeah, this. The sky resembles something.
I don't even know why we're bringing him into this. I'm sorry, dude.
Brandon Boyd's like, hey, man. Like,
I don't like him either. Like, why do you bring...
What's going on? We're coming for everybody. Yeah. That's the...
The other one for me, if we're going to do the honorable or dishonorable mentions, please, for overrated songs, The Fix fit into my head, because that has what we actually liked in a different song, where it had that staccato kind of sampley start, and the song just never gets its legs. And I know I say that a lot, but that's just a real thing, man. Like, you can start a song strong, but there needs to be a climax. There needs to be like something that like really takes off. If the intro's the best part, that's not a good song.
Yeah, you know? I agree with that.
And that's how that song feels to me.
And there's
so everybody listen to The Fix.
or don't.
The
listen
intro.
To the first.
Yeah, just listen. Yeah, the first 20 seconds, and then you can bail.
I'm going to make you so unhappy, but I'm ready for best and worst album.
I didn't even think we were going to do this, but yeah, out of two albums, we're doing best and worst
album. I'm ready. Here's the thing. We can do this quickly, because I know that you like Planet of Ice.
It's the right answer.
Between these two, the one that I chose is the better
so
of the two
wrong.
Is Manizaloso.
It's incredibly inaccurate.
And here's the deal.
This is where opinions don't matter.
I feel like I'm making progress as we're talking through this to be nicer to them. Because I think they tried. I think that Manizaloso, first of all, Planet of Ice, the fact that even look at the cover, I feel like it's like their attempt to be, it's their moon in Antarctica.
Okay.
That album is perfect. I don't know.
I'd love that album. Yeah, absolutely. I have nothing bad to say about Modest.
I was like,
Mouse.
Wait, you're coming for the Modest? Yeah. No. It's just like, there, it feels
I almost called him Brock Isaac.
Everything about that was on his
standardized testing. He was Brock Isaac. Yeah.
Yeah, Mr. Brock. Everything about Planet of Ice to me, like the way that it's like set up, like the song lengths, everything. It feels very much like this is like the big record. Like this is like the, I don't know. Even people have mentioned it's like, oh, their magnum opus, right? This is their big statement record. And I think with all that being said, I was let down by a lot of that album versus Manizaloso, where like production is not as nice, right? It's got that more kind of like really trebly, right? Yeah. Like, although it's a lot of
Hombre got a fellatio.
Yes. A lot of albums with that sound quality I end up enjoying for a lot of reasons. I like even like with the drums and stuff, right? Where
the drums are so much better.
I'm not talking about the playing, just the production. Like, it's none of it is as nice, but I think because of that, it works in their favor. I think that record's not trying to be as much, and because of that, it doesn't fail as bad.
Oh man, that's fascinating to me. Everything that you say that you dislike about Minus the Bear, I think of Menudo Celoso. That's where I'm just like, yeah, that's where they like just really fall short. I think on Planet of Ice, they are so much more refined and so much. And I don't think it's as forced. I don't think it's as forced as what you're saying. But I mean, this is just, again, your opinion's wrong, and I'm absolutely correct on this. Listeners, please chime in on this. This is a perfect episode for it. Like, there's only two options.
But then someone's going to have to start thinking about Minus the Bear. No one has done that in a very long time.
I mean,
this is a record. This is actually an episode.
First of all,
where
Colton, somehow you landed on Omni. So you actually tried to listen beyond Minus the Bear, which blew my mind.
I did. I wanted to see. I feel like I did some due diligence
No one's going to believe me. I had zero interest in listening to anything other than those two albums.
I think that says something.
It does, but that's what I'm saying. Planet of Ice, we could stop. It's over. That was the album. That's the one you needed to put out. It's great. Good. Let's finish.
Yeah. Well, I believe.
So I guess my choice is Planet of Ice.
Yeah. There you go, everybody. You've said it. And I respect it. And I can see why. I think what I'm always trying to do with any record, right, is what does it feel like they were aiming for? I feel like that's the best you can do, right? Because art's so subjective. What is it you think they were trying to do? How well do you think they succeeded in doing that thing?
And I think they succeeded more on Planet of Ice. And just on top of that, when I said I was upset with Menudo Celoso because it was released on Kobe's birthday.
Yeah.
Planet of Ice was released on Wilt Chamberlain's birthday. And I don't really get that much of a shit about Wilt Chamberlain. And I know he was a Laker, but he wasn't that great a Laker. But yeah, August 21st is Wilt Chamberlain's birthday.
We're not making any friends with this episode.
I had to bring it in, but it's Wilt Chamberlain's birthday.
And it's like, okay, fine. Happy Planet of Ice Day. Am I right?
I'd prefer listening to Wilt Chamberlain talk about how many women he slept with than Jake Snyder
writing about all the women he slept with. I have a bonus. I haven't gotten to say this, but I put in under worst/overrated Throwing Shapes because it's a song that's about both nature and sex.
I have Throwing Shapes in here.
In an equally creepy way.
I don't want to read what my note is because I think that might have just been, it was really late last night. I'm not going to throw that in there. But I did have a note on Throwing Shapes, and it seemed like it was him trying to do something inappropriate.
Yeah, it's a creeper. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm ready for rating, but I got to ask you, are we doing this? Because this feels, I don't know, only doing two albums.
Are we doing out of five or are we doing out of 10?
I mean, I'll have to adjust it slightly. Let's do out of 10, but let's recognize that we're doing it for two records of a non. I mean, none of this is going up into a like engraved plaque. Even if it would, we could just throw the plaque away. I don't know.
Well, I really hope I get my money back. I was trying to go big for season two.
That's all right. Imagine these were the only two records this band put out. We'll approach it that way.
Okay.
How about that? So with that in mind, what is your rating?
I think it is fitting that I go first. 3.
Buddy.
3?
After all of that.
Get the hell out of here.
After everything, how did you accuse me of not being a biased objective reviewer? I have a 3 out of 10. And here's the thing. I almost gave
it. Whoa, wait. All right, I messed up.
You were doing it out of five.
Yeah, so mine would be 5. Mine would be 5. That's so perfect. That's so perfect.
Oh, we were so close.
That's so perfect.
I felt close to you.
That's one of my favorite moments. That's probably my favorite moment in this entire podcast.
Yeah, I was so excited.
Mine's 3 out of 5. Yours is 3 out of 10. Let's just agree on that. let's just settle on we both had a three.
That's fine. Just, I like that. That's a good vibe.
Yeah, yeah. Mine's out of five. Yours is out of 10.
I think this is where I kind of plant my flag as a...
I love the fact that you were so excited that I gave him that lower rating, and I was so excited that you gave him that higher rating. This is beauty. This is just poetry and audio.
That was quite nice. Yeah. I think this has to be an episode where I plant my flag, because I knew what our conversation was going to hit on.
Oh, same here.
Like, and I appreciate it, because I think the fact that everyone approaches music from a different perspective is why there's so much cool stuff out there. Of course, I think I recognized about myself as someone who makes and listens to and now talks and has people listen to music and art. To me, like, if we're talking about like really great songwriting, from my standpoint, it all has to matter. And if I have to take a portion of the song and remove it to enjoy it, it's like a movie where I have to like cut out like an entire actor, and then I'm like, oh, and now I enjoy it. Like, well, it's just, life's too short. There's other things I enjoy.
That's interesting, because I mean, I still view it as the certain bands. It's what you've talked about it before. The secret sauce. Mm-hmm. Like, there's certain bands to where it's like, I'm cool with one member being lackluster if the other member is really enhancing it.
Yeah.
You know, something like, oh God, I almost used the White Stripes as an example, which is not going to help anything. but like Dream Theater, you listen to a band like Dream Theater. I don't know if anybody out there is familiar, but this is like a band full of virtuosos.
Yeah.
And the reason that it doesn't really work is because everybody's trying to get their money in all at the same time.
100%.
It doesn't leave room for it doesn't leave room for something obvious to the listener. It's just like, holy crap, man! What is that Maxell commercial with the dude sitting in the chair and like the speaker is just blaring at him and he's just like being blown back and he catches the fucking wine glass.
Yeah,
like that's how I view that. Dorian's just like, that's not interesting to me. That would give me a panic attack. I need something to hold on to, and then the music around it is.
That stuff is it. When I hear a band that's all about like each guy just trying to get their piece, like I think of also like a band like Dragon Force. Like, unfortunately, a lot, you could throw a lot of metal in there. Not every metal band.
Even though I got to say, based off of when we were talking about like Rock Band, that one song by Dragon Force, I love that song now.
Oh, I mean, everything gets equalized by Guitar Hero, of course.
Exactly.
Fire and Flames. Wait, I think.
Yeah. You get to be in the Rock Band. You click,
but
click, 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 click.
That stuff to me, it's not music as much. It's just sports, right? Like, it's athleticism to an extent. Yeah. Like, I can't listen to.
Really good way of putting it. Yeah.
And I think that's always the thing when I'm listening to a band where musically I think they're doing something really interesting, like Minus the Bear. Like, there's stuff about the way they're approaching, like their chords, a lot of notes, right, in the programming and things. There's bands that I really love that sound close to Minus the Bear. I think that influenced Minus the Bear. I mentioned Pinback. I don't know how much Pinback you've listened to.
I haven't listened to a lot, but the
AFK is a great one.
There were moments in it to where I thought of, and I have this in my notes, everybody. I took notes. Thrice and Facing New York.
I think Facing New York is a great counterpoint to and that. Here's the thing. When I hear, and it's not like, well, only one of these bands can exist, but Facing New York is a group of like amazing musicians and like every iteation that we've heard from them.
Yeah. They wrote an album that sounds like porn.
But it's groovy.
That's cool.
And it's fun. And sometimes the lyrics, like, I think, are like really deeply cool and interesting.
Very fun. Yep.
And other times they're just like, hey, here's like the lyrics to this song.
I think White Mystery would have slid right into Get Hot.
Hardwood Floors. Oh, I love Hardwood Floors. And they are the silliest lyrics ever. But that's a great song. Because
I think Facing New York, everybody, could end off being a band that we do the discography, because I think they have three albums. So that
we could easily do
beautiful.
It. Yeah. Anywho.
What's coming up next? I think
so.
We never discussed it, but I think we both assumed it was going to be you.
I think I kind of claimed it. I felt bad. Okay.
All right. I have nothing, so that's good.
Okay. So this is a Rushmore band for, I think, both of us, maybe more me. This is like one of the, like, we've been avoiding certain bands, people, because we both have said there's too much for us to unpack. I think I'm ready for it, and I hope you are.
Oh, man. All right.
So let me see. What's a good clue?
I love that. This is one of my favorite portions of our show.
All right. Welcome. I'm just naming words, and you have to think of the band.
Welcome. I got nothing off of that one.
Silent.
So we're doing Coheed?
Coheed. We're doing the first five there. That first story arc sequence. The Bag Online Adventures.
Okay.
First five albums.
First five albums. I'm in. I'm
that
in.
Is.
When you said Welcome, I was thinking Welcome Home, but I wasn't certain. I was just like, just give me one more. And when you said Silent,
These are Coheed. Meaty records, but we have both listened to a lot of Coheed in our time.
So have fun, everybody.
We're talking second stage Turbine Blade to the Black Rainbow.
Yeah, get ready. The Black Rainbow. Okay. this is going to be interesting, because for as much as this, those five albums are about a story, again, everybody, the lyrics don't mean that much to me.
We'll talk about it.
It's going to be a blast.
I'm excited. But, buddy, I had fun.
I think we did pretty damn good talking about a band that neither one of us particularly give a hoot about.
And you know what? Can I say something? No. This was nice to me. I feel like I was able to expel this out. Mm-hmm. I wish everyone the best. If you've listened to this, if for whatever reason you've been on the internet, you found this, and I've been upsetting you, I'm really sorry. I don't want to upset you.
And you know what? If you are a sound person or somebody who was part of the crew who had to set up a show, and you had a good interaction with Minus a Bear, please get back to us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Send us an email at know.your.writes.podcast@gmail.com.
Go ahead and do it. Tell us how great only tell us how great we're doing. I don't want to hear anything else.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm just going to tell you can do better.
All right, everybody. Go Mookie Betts in the Home Run Derby.
He already won it. I'm sure by the time you guys listen to this, Mookie Betts won the Home Run Derby.
If he does, we'll do Kid Rock.
No. All right, bye, guys.